You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
Verse 4 now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. So first of all, here it says that there are diversities of gifts, there's differences of ministries, and there's diversities of activities. So the umbrella, the overarching umbrella, is gifts, right? So we may get a gift, let's just say, of evangelism. And there's a whole bunch of us that get a gift of evangelism. And then under that, there are ministries. Well, there's different demographics of people that we might be called to individually. Some of you might have a gift for child evangelism. Others might have a gift for evangelizing adults. Some have a gift for reaching, you know, wealthy adults. Others have a gift for ministering to the homeless or impoverished people. Some have a gift for ministering evangelism domestically to their own people. Others have a gift for going overseas and reaching foreigners. God's just amazing how he ministers through each of us differently. And so that's what the Bible's teaching here. Hey, there's all kinds of different things, and it's all the same God, though. And it says again in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, the Holy Spirit is present with us even now. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, all at once, ever present, right? We call that omnipresent. But there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, makes him known, makes himself apparent. Whoa, the Holy Spirit is here. Verse 8, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The Apostle Paul's now going to go on and list these 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit that he mentions. This is not an exhaustive list. We saw other ones in Romans 12. We saw other ones in Ephesians 4, right? And now we're seeing these, but they are some really good ones to plant on and talk about. So the first one here is the word of wisdom through the Spirit. The word of wisdom is a supernatural wisdom from God to make a good decision or judgment, or to learn the way to solve a problem, to have a right response, which includes answering a question or giving advice. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When we receive that word of wisdom, it is a beautiful thing, isn't it? When God gives the answer that you've been struggling with. There's lots of biblical examples of this. God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. What would you like? Solomon said, God, I'm going to be king. I need wisdom. Will you give me wisdom, God, to rule these people? And God gave him wisdom. It was a supernatural gifting. Remember in the book of Acts when Paul and his team were going around on their missionary journey, and they wanted to go into this place called Bithynia, and it says that the Holy Spirit forbid them. They weren't allowed. And so they were seeking the Lord. Okay, Lord, where should we go? We need wisdom of where to go. Where are we going to be most effective? And then someone had a dream, and there was a man from Macedonia across the Aegean Sea from where they were at. And he pleaded with them and said, come over here. We need your help. And that was a word of wisdom from the Lord of, hey, this is where we're going to go next. And they went there, and their ministry was fruitful. Words of wisdom. It's a beautiful thing. Now, the next one here, it says, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. A word of knowledge is simply information from God. It's often to give someone more understanding for prayer, for practical wisdom. We think of Jesus and the woman at the well, how she came, and he says, woman, where's your husband? And she said, I don't have a husband. He says, you speak rightly. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. That's a word of knowledge. It's just facts that he wasn't told except for by the Holy Spirit. And of course, he's Jesus and is God. He knows everything. And so they're one, and it, you know, you can get into that. But that was his display of knowledge there. Now, a biblical example of this is when Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, the people were all selling their property and bringing the proceeds and donating it to the church, and they were sharing everything. And then Ananias and Sapphira, this couple, they sell a possession and they come and they say, here's the proceeds from our sale. Aren't we spiritual? Yet they had held back a portion for themselves and were lying. And Peter got a word of knowledge, a fact from God. They didn't give it all. They're holding some back, and they're lying to me, the Holy Spirit, and thinking that they can get away with it. And Peter called them out, and they end up getting killed by God because of this, as an example to the rest of the believers. So this was a word of knowledge, and remember that these spiritual gifts are for the profit of all, that are for the edification of the body. And you're like, wow, how can a couple people getting killed edify the body? Everybody was like, well, this is serious business. We better respect and honor God and not attempt to lie to the Holy Spirit. Now, the next one mentioned here in verse 9 it says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we're all to exercise faith in the usage of our gifts. But sometimes, or to some people, an extra measure of faith is given. And in Jesus' life, we see it continually displayed because perfect faith leads to perfect obedience. And he had perfect obedience. If you're totally trusting God, you will listen to whatever he tells you to do. It's as simple as that. When we are disobedient to God, it's because we are lacking in faith. We're not trusting that what he said is actually true. Biblical examples of this faith is Peter is a classic example, right? They're in the boat. There's wind. There's waves. They look up. They see Jesus walking on the water. They think he's a ghost. He says, don't worry. It's just me. And Peter says, Lord, can I come out to you? That's faith. That is an extra measure of faith. The other disciples weren't like, hey, Lord, can we step out of the boat and just walk on water with you? It's like, what? How'd you even think of that? It's a gift of faith. And so he does. The Lord says, come on out. Let's kick around in the water together. And so he steps over the edge of the boat and he begins to walk on water. Faith. But then what happens? He looks at the wind. He looks at the waves. He gets freaked out. He begins to doubt, which is the opposite of faith, and fear, which is a result of doubting, and he begins to sink. But Jesus reaches down and saves him and pulls him up. But he had this gift of faith to begin with. I mean, we're often critical of him for looking at the wind and waves, but how many of us would actually step out of the boat in the first place? That's pretty amazing that he did that. I mean, come on. Gift of faith. There's been a couple times in my life, a few times, where the Lord's given an extra measure of faith to me because I really needed it for the moment. One time it wasn't even because I needed it too bad. It was just, he just did it. And that's how God works. We used to say he's an untamed lion. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, Aslan. He does what he wants when he wants to. So I was mountain bike riding with a friend. And we're going down these single track trails, and it was a really long ride. And as I'm riding, we're going down, and I start to feel the back end of my bike feels loose. But I rode probably a mile before going, there's something really wrong with my bike. And I look back there, and a little bolt had come off on my bike. And we were about 4 miles out, and so I'm like, well, you know, I could just walk out. But then I just felt like the Lord was saying, no, go back and look for your bolt. And so I told my friend, hey, I'm going to go back and look for my bolt. And he's like, what? And I said, well, let's just pray. And so we prayed together. And then I rode off. I went a mile back, and I just stopped where I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, stop. And as I'm praying to the Lord, he gave me faith that I was going to find this bolt. I'm like, Lord, you know where this bolt is. And he just began to minister to me. Yeah, I do, and I'm going to show you. And I'm like, really? It's inexplicable, because normally in a situation like that, I would be going, look, there's leaves everywhere. I don't even know if this is the right spot on this long trail. I mean, come on, Lord, you know, but in this situation, it was just a gift of faith that I am going to find this bolt. And sure enough, I'm standing there. I'm actually giddy with excitement. Like, I'm going to find this bolt. This is amazing. And I looked over, and half covered in the shade by a leaf is this little bolt. That's it. I grabbed it. I went back to my friend. And as I'm approaching, he's like, ah, no luck, huh? I said, boom. He was like, what? No way. I'm like, yes way, Yahweh. And I found the bolt. Now, I don't know why God decided just to display it, probably for my own sake, because I look back on that and God, you are real. And then for my friend as well, to edify the body of Christ. And then there's been other situations. Of course, we were called to Colorado, and that was a big step of faith, and there were lots of miracles that had to be done to do that. And I think of the famous Bible teacher, George Mueller. You may have heard of him, but he had thousands of orphans that he had to feed. And he felt like the Lord was leading him, just have faith and trust me for provision and don't ask people for money. And God provided day after day, day after day, amazing miracles. And so God wants us, of course, to have faith, but certain people or in certain circumstances, there will be an extra measure of faith, a gift of faith. Next one, it says, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. There's various types of miraculous healing, right? We think of physical healing right away, but there's also mental healing, emotional healing from trauma or from lack. There's, of course, the most important of all, spiritual healing, which we're all born into sin and we're born into a need for spiritual healing. And this is what Jesus came primarily to bring. Now, yes, we see him healing the blind, healing the deaf, the lame, lepers, demon-possessed people, issues of blood. We see people who were dead being risen from the dead. We see Peter's mom who had a fever being completely healed. We see the man who was out of his mind in the catacombs and he was demon-possessed. Jesus cast out the demons and they saw him sitting in his right mind. Jesus brings all kinds of healing. But remember the man who was the paralytic and they let him down through the roof. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. That was the very first thing he did. They came wanting him to be healed of his physical malady. He said, your sins are forgiven. He was more interested in the spiritual healing of this man than in his physical healing. And then he ended up healing him physically too. He said, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, pick up your bed and walk. And he picked up his bed and he walked out of there. Praise God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed then and he heals now. Christy had a hurt thumb and she prayed and asked God to heal it and he did. I had a headache one time. I was laying in bed. I had this terrible headache, but I was just worshiping God and I said, Lord, will you heal my headache? It went away like that, gone. No Advil, no medicine. God just healed me of this headache. And it was immediate and it was obvious. I'm thinking of my sister-in-law, Jen, who's here, who had a really bad back from gymnastics. And God healed her back pain. And we can go on and on. In fact, you know, we read in the Bible that people have been risen from the dead. Well, we had a sister who died in here not long ago. Were you there that day? She died. And we laid her out, and there's Ginger Cadman and her daughter were attending to her, doing CPR, and then our brother Christopher back there in the sound booth prayed over her, and as soon as he prayed, she came back. She came back. Praise God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does miracles. Remember, he does them when he wants, for whom he wants. It doesn't happen to everybody. Someone with a gift of healing can't just go around and heal indiscriminately. Otherwise, we would just have him go to the hospitals, empty him out, and poor Ginger would be out of work because she's a nurse. Right? It doesn't work that way. God just does it when he wants, and ultimately it's all foreshadowing of the ultimate healing when we all get to heaven, get our new bodies, and we're healed forever and for good. Remember Lazarus? He was raised from the dead very dramatically after being dead for 4 days. They rolled away the stone. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he had to say him by name or else everybody would come forth. And so Lazarus came out. But where is Lazarus today? He died. And he's with the Lord now. And so it is with all of us. No matter what temporary healing God might decide to deliver to us, it's temporary. We went to a healing meeting with Mario Murillo in Colorado, and lots of people got healed, and some of them were very dramatic healings. One lady on crutches who went to the church that we attended for 3 years, and she came in on crutches, and she was able to throw them down and walk around like this. It was truly incredible. He has a gift for healing, but not everybody that was there got healed. In fact, a couple people came to me after, and they were very disappointed because they didn't get healed. They left without joy. There's two reasons for that. One, it just wasn't God's time for them to get healed, and God has various reasons for not healing. Remember the Apostle Paul, he beseeched the Lord 3 times for healing of some physical malady that he had. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. It was infirmity. And he besought the Lord 3 times, and God said no, and he gave him a reason. He said, unless you become puffed up. You see, God had such a great work for him spiritually, but he still had sin nature, pride. And to keep him humble, God allowed his infirmity to remain. So that's one reason that God would choose not to heal someone, and it all comes back to sin, doesn't it? If we were without sin, then we can be totally healed now. Unfortunately, we do have sin nature. We have pride. We want to take glory for ourselves. So God reminds us, you're human. Stay in your place. Give glory to me. All right, God, you got it. But these people that were disappointed, the other thing there is be happy for others that get healed. Love people enough that when you see them get healed, even if you are not, you can be happy for them and rejoice with them and go, you know what, it's just not my time. And I'm going to continue to suffer and identify with Christ. Maybe I'll get healed one day, but I'll sure get healed in heaven. Amen? Amen. Now, verse 10, it says, to another working of miracles. These would be supernatural events with no natural explanation. They defy chance and go against the laws of nature. Jesus turned water into wine. He multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed thousands. He calmed the sea. Those are miracles. In the Bible, aside from the working of Christ, we had the floating axe head. Remember that? Elisha. There was this guy, he was a prophet in the school of prophets, and he's hacking away on a tree, and he pulls back, and the axe head goes flying off into the water. And they called Elisha over, and he, boom, the axe head floats up to the top of the river, and they grab the axe head. For us, we would just go to Home Depot and buy another one, right? Back then, no, not so easy. No Home Depot. Axe heads are hard to come by. This was a borrowed axe head. Miracles. Miracles. Modern example. Remember, these things are for today, friends, these gifts. I needed an MRI, and I can't remember what it was for, but this was back when I was in my early 20s. I was a teacher at the school. I think it was my first year teaching, so probably 25, and it was my first MRI, and so they're telling me, we're going to lay you down, we're going to just put you on this thing, and we're going to put you into this little tube, and you can hardly even see light. You know, the ceiling is right there, and I'm all, that sounds kind of freaky. And they're like, yeah, are you claustrophobic or something? And I'm all, well, I don't know, but it just sounds freaky to me. And they're like, well, how about we give you some Valium? And that'll just make you relax and you'll be okay. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. So they gave me this prescription and I had the piece of paper so that I can call it in, right? Well, it was day of and I'm a procrastinator, so I needed to call it in. But so I'm looking through my wallet for this prescription. I know I put it in my wallet, couldn't find it. And so I checked every single piece, and I thought, Lord, are you hiding this from me because you don't want me to take Valium? It was just a question I had. And I said, just to make sure, I am going to check every little nook and cranny of my wallet. I had everything laid out. I didn't see it. I put everything back. I'm like, oh, well, I'll be okay. I went. Everything was fine. And then I got to go to this event with my students that night. Some of them were involved in an event, and I went and I had good fellowship with them. I got home, and I thought, Lord, if you were hiding that from me, I'm going to find it in my wallet. I opened my wallet. Boom, there it was. He hid it from me because he didn't want me to take Valium because he wanted me to enjoy my students that evening and not be at home loopy. I'm just telling you, man, God just loves us and he does miracles in our lives. If we'll just surrender ourselves to him, give ourselves over to him, be a part of his family, he cares. And then let go, not get mad because we can't find it. Ah, I need my Valium. I'm going to make it work. But just go, oh, okay, I guess God doesn't want this, and just roll with it. Whether it be medical, financial, relational, just resting in the Lord, resting in faith. Next, it says to another prophecy. We speak a lot of this. This is all over the place in the Bible, getting that message from God to communicate to other people. This is not just regular preaching, but it's a specific word that God gives for a specific person or situation. Remember Jesus, when it was time to get the donkey, for him to ride in on the donkey? He specifically told his certain disciples, you guys, go over there to this place. You'll find a donkey. It's going to be tied up. Ask them for it. If they say, hey, what are you doing with that? Just tell them you have need of it. The master has need of it. They're going to be okay with it. Boom. You know, he just knew that that was exactly how it was going to happen. All the scriptures are really prophetic. We think of Revelation and John the Apostle getting that revelation from God. We think of the leaders, right? The early Christian leaders in the book of Acts, they want to go out, send people out on a missionary trip, and they're praying, God, who should we send? It says the Holy Spirit set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work. That was a prophetic word that they received. Who should go, Lord? Send Paul, send Barnabas. Okay. Feels right to everybody. You know, we've had some instances of prophetic words that have really steered me personally, but also our church. Alan Wright, if you know who that is, he had a vision from the Lord. He had a vision of me and the church behind me coming up to this cathedral with these huge doors, and I tried the doors and they were locked. And then we looked to the side, and there was this building that looked similar to this one with a door on the side of it, and Jesus was there at the open door and said, come over here. And so we're looking for a new building, right? Things were falling through. One of our options was Zion Lutheran down the road over here. And we could have our prime time on Sunday mornings if we went to Zion Lutheran. And I wanted prime time on Sunday mornings because I knew if we don't, then we're going to lose people. Well, we had an emergency meeting with the elders. I gave them, here's our final options, guys, because we're down to a week here. We got to know. We got to tell the people. We got to make a move. I presented the options. I had the one in my mind, and the Lord was just steering the elders in a different direction. No, yeah, guys, they all started getting excited about coming to their open door, and we would have to give up prime time on Sundays. And I have to be honest, I was getting really upset and irritated. I'm over there watching these guys all get excited, and I'm just like sourpuss in the corner, you know? And then we prayed. Cheyenne recommended, hey, we should pray right now, because I started saying things, and they're like, well, Pastor James isn't cool with this. And then we're praying, and as we're praying, the Lord reminded me of that prophetic word in a vision to Alan. Oh, yeah, Zion with their big doors. It's locked. Come over here, says Jesus. I was like, all right, Jesus, you're speaking to the elders, and you're wanting me to yield, let go of me and what I want, what I think is best, and go with you. And so here we are. The Lord specifically told me, he said, back off. And then as I closed in prayer, I said, I'd like to make a motion that we move over to Open Door, all of our operations. Did we lose people? Yeah, we did lose some people. but we just trust them with God's hands and that God led them to other churches or whatever, and we just do what God says because He sees the big picture and He knows. Amen.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.